Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Rachel Draper. She was a volunteer for the world's first dad strike, which took place in the UK last week on the 11th of June ahead of Father's Day. The strike was called by the Dad Shift to protest the UK's statutory paternity leave system, which apparently is the least generous in Europe at only 2 weeks, compared to Spain, where new dads can take 16 weeks off work in as full pay as well. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hi, Hannah. Thanks so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. And yeah, I was quite shocked to read this, that the UK is the least generous in Europe. That's not fair. I mean, it doesn't seem right. Is there any reason why do we know that this is the case?
No good reason, I would say, just as to why this is the case, other than just to say that we're really, really lagging behind the developed world in having reformed paid parental leave in particular for dads, and that we have one of the most unequal policies between men and women in the world, and we have the worst policy for dads in all of Europe.
Yeah. God, it's shocking. So tell us a bit more about the Dad Shift, who organised this strike.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So the Dad Shift are a relatively young organisation. They're founded by two awesome guys, George and Alex, last year. And you might recognise some of the stunts that they've pulled off. They've got some pretty epic press coverage. So last year they went and put baby slings up on a number of statues of fathers around London. It's also reported in The Guardian with some really, really awesome, very visually grabbing pics. And then recently we also did a stunt. This was after I got involved in volunteering with them. We did a stunt in 120 locations around the UK where we hung up baby grows that say 2 weeks isn't enough in some really striking locations, kind of Whitechips of Dover, Houses of Parliament, all sorts of scenes, at Margate, on beaches, all sorts of scenes that you'd recognise from various locations around the country. Saying 2 weeks isn't enough. And then the most recent event and stunt was we did the dad strike. So 250 dads. Well, it wasn't actually just dads. It was very family friendly picket. So dads and families attended in London and Westminster, and then a further 100 people went on strike up in Edinburgh also. So we had these two locations, and then kind of nationally, because we appreciated not everybody could get to those two places, we encouraged dads to do the pickup. So it was picket or pickup, and take pictures and go along to the school run to show support for the campaign. So that the Dad Shift have been, they're some of the very public-facing things that we've done. And then there's also a huge amount of work behind the scenes, advocating all across media, social media, and then really importantly, essentially lobbying government and politicians to really raise this topic kind of on the political agenda. And that's where ultimately we're going to achieve a load of change if we to change the policy.
Yeah. So how successful have all these stunts and the protests been so far? How long does it take to get any kind of feedback, I guess, from government?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest success we have, well, there's different types of successes. Incredible success and uptake from all of the stunts in terms of the press coverage, interest from the media, and even the fact that you're interested in talking to me about it. It's like piqued lots and lots of people's interest. So the fact that it's an interesting topic that's got kind of widespread cultural, social appeal, that's a huge win, because whilst we just need greater awareness of it, more people to talk about it. So that's one massive success. And then in terms of actually changing the policy, a huge and great result was that on the day of the dad strike, George and Alex were able to secure a meeting and talk to the Secretary of State for business. We were initially striking outside the Department of Business and Trade. And so to get a meeting, and that was kind of they were reached out to by the minister to get a meeting, to get some time with a key decision maker for this policy alongside Treasury. That's a really monumental step to try and get their support in a real policy change. So it's a bit of both. We need the public support to be shown, because then that will increase the chances that it's addressed politically. And we need the key people in the right places to also be really interested in and supportive of the policy. So I'd say huge success.
That's great. And when we look at the early days of having a baby, having a child, you know, if it's a traditional couple, if it's a man and a woman and the woman's given birth, then there's obviously the understanding that the woman has been through a lot physically and emotionally and definitely needs to be allowed that break from work. And I guess the argument kind of against men having more time off work would be for people to say, oh, well, they haven't been through as much, you know, they can go back to work a lot quicker. I guess that would, you know, playing devil's advocate here, that's what some people might say. But we also know the importance of dads being around the baby in those early days and having physical contact with the babies and what Absolutely. Difference that can make. And, you know, that's difficult to argue against.
Yeah, completely agree. And there's pushback for sure on changing the policy. There's pushback from some mums that it's, you know, their right to have a long maternity leave. But I think the case has been there's a lot of evidence that the case has been made very clear of the benefits to not just the dad for being around and being able to bond with their child, for the children for having both parents present and being able to make those relationships as well from a really early age. There's huge benefits to women and their careers and kind of gender equality more broadly if we even up the playing field for unpaid care work. And I think, the key thing is, like, it's parental leave. It's not just birth or medical leave. And whilst it's certainly valid to say that some amount of leave for mums who birth the children, you know, some of that has to be protected from a kind of medical perspective. It takes 6 weeks for women to recover from a C-section. And so to have dads going back after only 2 weeks, women can't necessarily even fully operate fully effectively in that time if they've had a C-section. So it's, I think it's not a valid argument to say that it should only go to the women in relation to birth. Certainly a bit needs to be protected to allow women to recover. But then it's about parenting. And parenting is not only for women and mums.
Yeah, for sure. And do you know if the laws are different or take into consideration same-sex couples? So whether we're talking about two women when, you know, obviously one of them, again, will have only given birth, or two men and whether they've adopted or whatever, and obviously neither of them have given birth. How does that work?
Yeah, great question. And I dug into this more recently because I received it from someone else too, and I wanted to better understand it. So because I had a horrible feeling that two dads who adopted a child might only get 4 weeks, which would be 2 weeks of paternity leave each if they were both non-birthing parents. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, that's not the case, but it's not much better. Same-sex relationships sort of just fall into this maternity-paternity divide. So there's a birthing parent who gets the maternity allocation in the case of a same-sex lesbian couple. And in the case of a same-sex male couple, there's separate adoption leave policies, which are just very similar to maternity and paternity. So essentially someone is eligible for much better paid and longer leave, and the other person is essentially shafted with the equivalent of paternity leave. But it's a slightly separate policy on our kind of adoption leave and pay.
And it's fascinating, isn't it, looking at different countries, either in Europe or around the world, and see how they do it. And you'd think that other countries like the UK could could copy, you know, could see how other countries are doing it, see how things work better in other countries, and then adopt the same procedure.
Yeah, for sure. It's honestly embarrassing that we're not looking at other countries and getting more inspired and more envious and, you know, taking best practice. Sweden has 480 days parental leave, and that is gender neutral. So that is for the parents to allocate themselves. As you mentioned, Spain offers 16 weeks full pay to dads, and that's a more recent change. And other countries have various things that work much better. I would say, like, the key points of a better policy would be longer, better paid, more gender equal. I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, we would have gender neutral parental leave. And that's not even what we're campaigning for at the moment, because we appreciate that that's like several steps away. At the moment, we're just desperate to close this kind of inequality gap between what mums get and what dads get. And what dads get is just so low relative to other countries right now. It's easier if we just move the needle a tiny bit. We're not asking for 52 weeks leave like we give women at the moment. We're asking for 6 weeks paid leave for dads, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it feels like a small ask, I would say, relative to best practice in some other countries.
Yeah, definitely. I read a quote by Alex Lloyd Hunter, who you mentioned, the co-founder of the Dad Shift, and it really made me smile. I thought it was very cleverly worded. He said, 2 weeks might work for a trip to Spain, but to work out how to be a father, ridiculous. And that's so true.
Exactly. It's tantamount to a holiday. And that is how dads are getting around it at the moment. They're taking 2 weeks leave, if they're even eligible for that, because it's not a day one, right? And then topping it up with annual leave. It's just not a practical solution at the moment at all.
And is there any, since the March last week, is there any kind of timeline on this? Do you know how closer you are to getting a result on this with government, or is it just a waiting game?
So my understanding of it is that the government committed to doing a review of parental leave. I believe that that's due around summer, so in should be in mid-July. I think that review could take up to a year. It's not going to be a very quick turnaround. My understanding is we're looking at it, really get it. We need it to be on the agenda in the next couple of months. And then the process of the review will take a bunch of time too. So that's my understanding for the kind of timeline. So it's really significant that we, you know, build on the momentum from the strike and the other, the campaigns that we've been doing to really show to Labour and the government that there is so much interest and this is such a popular topic.
Yeah.
And then it will be a case of the evidence will be so clear when they do the review. It's just a case of really making sure it's high on the agenda.
Mm. And are there any petitions or anything that we can sign from Spain? Because obviously there's a lot of people, expats who live here in Spain, who still have family in the UK, children or grandchildren, and will be wanting to support this just as much as people in the UK.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we would love that. So our website is dadshift.org.uk. And that's a website where you can add your name to support the campaign for better paternity leave in the UK. You can also donate. And you can, if you're really keen, you can buy some merchandise. dadshift.org.uk is the main place. And then also Dadshift UK on social media.
Okay, perfect.
So we'd love more supporters. Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. And Rachel, now we've done the professional bit, I just wanted to mention, because I've talked about my India trip a lot on the radio, both doing an interview whilst I was in India and also talked about it since I've been back. You were there too.
I was there too. What a wild adventure that was.
Oh, wasn't it just? Has it been strange being back? I know initially on the WhatsApp group, some women, including myself, were feeling quite emotional. and couldn't quite explain why. Did you have that a bit?
Yeah, definitely. I had this weird, jarring sort of feeling of being back in my reality and my normal world, but it just being feeling so many worlds apart from where we were in India in just so many ways. In terms of being in India itself, like it's the first time I'd ever been, and being with the group of women that we were with, that was just, you know, you don't get that experience. You don't get that experience every day at all. You don't get it that many times in a lifetime. It was an odd adjustment coming back. For sure.
It was an amazing experience though, wasn't it? It really was.
Yeah, it was. I exceeded all of my expectations and so many, across so many dimensions.
I have to say, you're an excellent tuk-tuk driver.
Thanks, Hannah. Your tuk-tuk was a fantastic one to join. I loved it. It was so special to get to go around and meet different people. And I remember hearing about your podcast in the tuk-tuk. Never did I think I would get to come on it. So what a treat.
Oh, brilliant stuff. And has it made you want to do more kind of challenges and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have I sort of have an odd feeling compulsion. I say to my friends and family, and they know it from me now, I said every 2 years I get sort of an itch to do something silly and say yes to something a bit outrageous. It's either a bungee jump, or I went and, you know, moved to America. That's not that radical, but I get thought about, okay, I've got to go and do something. I started my own business. I take a big risk. As soon as things start to get a bit samey, and I just get comfortable, I think, oh, I need a challenge. And so this India trip came around at the time that I was sort of getting that feeling again. And so I just said, yeah, I said, yes. I only knew the organizer, Emma, of the trip, and said, yes, sign me up. And I actually signed up to it thinking it was a bike challenge. I thought that tuk-tuks were cycling, and thank goodness they were not, having done it.
Yes.
And driven in India. Though actually, for me, driving was a scarier prospect than cycling. So yeah, it definitely was an adventure.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it's been lovely chatting with you. Thank you for keeping us up to date on the dad
Absolutely.
Shift and the dad strike. And I'm sure listeners will head on to the website dadshift.org.uk and show their support on that. Rachel Draper, thank you very much. And hopefully see you again one day soon doing another adventure.
Thanks so much, Hannah. I would love that. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.